At Christmas time, we hear the words Emmanuel, God with us. But what do we mean by us? Is it me and you? What about the folks down the street at Calvary Baptist or Trinity United or all the other churches in Coburg for that matter? Are they part of the us? Does the us include folks who come for lunch on Thursdays at the soup kitchen? Those who show up for Bible study? How big is the us category? After all, the opposite of us is them. It's us and them. So who is us? And if we aren't careful, us becomes an exclusive category. Does God even include us in the us? After all, Matthew was written for the Jewish community in Jerusalem. That's his primary audience. We are a long way from there. So does God with us include us? Now, Matthew goes to great lengths to describe the us which is included in God with us. See, after Matthew finishes his birth account, he introduces us to the Magi. As they come around about a year to 2 years later, we think. A group of foreigners who would have been so far removed from us to those in Jerusalem that the point is driven home. That God with us is a very wide category. So who were the three wise men? Let's start with those inbuilt assumptions. They only appear in Matthew's gospel for a short yet important visit. So let's talk first about things that we don't know, and we'll go from there. Matthew does not name the Magi, but tradition has done this for us. We have Melchior of Persia, he brought the gold. We have Gaspar of India, who brought the frankincense, and Balthazar of Arabia, who brought the myrrh. These names come from a Greek manuscript dated around 500 Common Era, and another around 800. We can speculate that others who have come before us have asked the same questions we have asked. Who were the Magi? What were their names? Where were they from? Why didn't Matthew tell us more? And out of those questions have arisen answers which may or may not be true. There are some who speculate that the Magi represented the kings of Yemen, as Yemen was a Jewish kingdom when Christ was born. Now, the Magi are commonly referred to as the three wise men, or the three kings, or sometimes when your tongue is firmly planted in your cheek, as the three wise guys. We assume that there were three individuals, as we talked with the kids there, because there's three gifts. However, as I mentioned to the kids, in the tradition of Eastern Christianity, it's assumed that there are 12 Magi who come to visit. And I don't know why or how they derive 12, but that's what they believe. In China, Chinese Christians believe that one of the Magi was Chinese. What we do know was that there's three gifts, but we don't know how many people brought those gifts. Only that it's plural, more than one. What we do know about these Magi is that they studied the stars and that they came from the east. As we heard it this morning, as Katie read it, some men who studied the stars came. And we might more accurately translate it as Magi from the east came. Magi isn't a word we use anymore. Outside of this story, you will probably never use this word in regular day-to-day conversation. So once or twice a year, we hear the word magi come up at this time of year. But the word implies those who studied the stars. And the magi were probably not kings, but we do identify them sometimes as kings, as we found in the reading from the Psalm this morning and other passages from the Old Testament. May all kings fall down before him. And so this is the Christian tradition looking at the Old Testament and these passages which talk about the coming of the Messiah and how that Messiah is referred and how other people react towards him. May all kings bow down before him. And so the Magi must have been kings because this is, we're trying to line these things up. But if we take a deeper look at the word Magi, it is a noun, and it's classified grammatically as masculine, which is perhaps why we say wise men or kings. But Matthew himself doesn't specify if they are men or women. The word means astrologer or someone who studies the stars. However, it is believed that the word is originally of Babylonian origin and may have referred to an individual who was a priest in the Persian religion. And the religion at that time was, I'm going to probably mispronounce this, Zoroastrianism. I think I got that right. A religion which still exists today. And the primary prophet of Zoroastrianism was Zoroaster, who was miraculously conceived by a virgin. And the core belief of Zoroastrianism is that other virgins would conceive divinely appointed prophets as history unfolded. And they could foretell these events by reading stars. And so like the Jews, the followers of Zoroaster were anticipating the birth of a true Savior. Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, telling them that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. He introduces the visit of the Magi. And when this story is first heard by the people of Matthew's day, they would associate and think that these Magi being included, they would not include the Magi as being God with us. But Matthew uses the Magi to reinforce who Jesus is, because they would have been familiar with religions and other deities that existed during that time. The Magi came to worship the one who is called King of the Jews. That's what they say. They come to worship the one who is called King of the Jews. We won't see those words, King of the Jews, until the end. Pilate. Pilate is the next person who uses the words King of the Jews. And so Matthew bookends the gospel. Magi coming from the east, foreigners who were not part of the us, we come to find the King of the Jews and a Roman dictator, King, you are King of the Jews, to bookend and reinforce who Jesus is. Now, it is easy for us to romanticize the Magi, to think of them as nothing more than kindly old men who followed a star, found a baby who was king, and offered him gifts. And many of our hymns do this. The one that we're going to sing after the sermon does this. However, the Magi are much more than this. Carolyn Lewis writes, "A story like this cannot be sentimentalized into yet another Christmas program or summarized as suggested advice to follow a star. And I get how hard this is," she writes. "As much as I want to cast the wise men as just innocent and uninformed responders, they are so much more. They are resistors. They insist that their witness testifies to a truth that will challenge power, that will defy authority. all because they believe in their own experience, their own encounter, their own epiphany. They get that there just might be more to the story than what they have been told, and therein lies the heart of our Christian faith. The Magi have a first visit with Herod, because Herod hears of them coming and invites them. But they don't bow down before Herod. It's only when they visit with Jesus, a baby, that they pay homage to him, bow down before him, and offer him gifts. They resist Herod and his authority when they travel home by another way, just as we are called to follow a way not of this world. So do we, like the Magi, have confidence in our own experience of God, of our own encounter with God, to resist the challenges and the temptations that we find before us, and to live out a set of values, a belief in something beyond ourselves? Are we willing to see, as Matthew tries to tell us, that God with us is more than a personal connection? Are we willing to defy authority to see God's justice done and to bring God's righteousness forth? When I was younger, when I was my boy's age, and I was in the Boy Scouts, I was told that if I was lost at night, I should look for the North Star for direction. Before the modern age of GPS, sailors would use the stars to guide them. We don't follow the stars anymore because we are blind. We follow them because we trust where they will guide us. And I think with our modern age, with our reliance on technology, we have lost some of that trust. We've lost the sense of courage and risk that comes in following a star. But it is only by following the star that we can come to the threshold, find the Christ child, enter in, and proclaim that God is with us. And thanks be to God. Amen.